Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 483.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music.
Seated, we'll sing hymn number 209. 209.
Grace, God's
Abounded, sin did grace much more abound. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Finish up this chapter and start on a new one next week, God willing. Start reading at verse 31 to the end of the chapter. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto them, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, the so much more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Our most blessed, gracious, glorious God, our Father in heaven, Lord, we're so blessed and so privileged to be able to come into your presence. And come, Lord Jesus, as boldly and freely with some confidence, not in ourselves, but our confidence and faith and trust in you. For we know whom we believed, and we've been persuaded that whatsoever we commit unto you, you're able to keep it against that day. And so, Lord, we come, and I bring this body of believers, all of us, we come into your presence. Oh, Lord, we all of us come with a need. All of us come with prayers. All of us, some of us come with heavy hearts and care and concern for others. But, Lord, you know the need of every home, every heart, every soul represented here. But Lord, we do especially pray for our brothers and sisters that are going through trials and troubles, who are burdened. We pray for Joe, pray for Eleanor, pray for Brother James. Oh Lord, God, we pray that you'd bless these dear saints, strengthen them, encourage them. Lord Jesus, we, as they brought this deaf man, Lord, we bring these people to you. We got no place else to take souls. Souls that we can't do nothing for, but you can. We bring the lost because we can't save them, but you can. We can't open a heart, but you can. We can't convince a soul of their need of Christ, but you can. So, Lord, we look to you. Ask for your presence in this meeting today. Meet with us. Come among us. Let us feel your power. Let us feel your presence. Let us be touched by the Spirit of God Himself. to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ, to see sinners brought to faith in our blessed Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Father, we thy children bless thee, for thy love to us bestowed. As our Father, we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in leaving for our sakes his home on high. Now the sprinkled blood on we go toward our rest through the desert. Thou dost lead us, hast freed us with thy constant favor blessed. By thy truth and spirit guiding, earnest he of joys to come, and with daily food providing, thou dost lead thy children home. Through our pilgrimage be dreary, this is not our resting place. Shall we of the way be weary when we see our Master's face? Now by faith anticipating, in this hope our souls rejoice. We His promised advent waiting, soon shall hear His welcome voice.
Be seated.
All right, let's look back here in Mark chapter 7. I love that last verse. It says, He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. And He has. And He does. And He will. He has done all things well. He is doing all things well, and He will in the future do all things well. Our Lord Jesus Christ is successful. He's not a failure. Whatever He undertakes, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, everyone, people who had loved ones, just like last week we dealt with, or week before last, we dealt with a woman whose daughter had a devil, and she came to the Lord Jesus Christ and begged Him to please do something for her daughter. And you remember He ignored her. And finally He said, "Our dog's not fit to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, that's right, but I don't care to be a dog. Just give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs." And He said, "Great is thy faith." And she went home, and immediately when she got to the house, her daughter was well. And so everyone who has loved ones and people that they love, whether they were sick, whether they were diseased, whether they were dead. Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was dead. And our Lord Jesus knew that he was sick. And he waited. They sent to him and says, "He whom thou lovest is sick." They knew he loved him. And oh, they thought he would come immediately. Immediately. But our Lord waited 4 days before he went over there. And you know why he said Lazarus died? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. So that Christ could raise him from the dead. So I mean even dead people. One man said, oh Lord, I got a daughter. She's 12, just 12 years old. And oh, listen, he started going to her, Jairus' daughter. He started going to her house, his house. And boy, when he got there, they run out and told him, said, forget it. Said, tell the master to forget it. She's dead. The Lord Jesus just walked in there and said, got her by the hand, said, get up. So people that he loves and people that they love, they, whether diseased, sick, deaf, blind, or dead, when they knew where Christ was and knew who Christ was and where he was, they brought them to him. And oh my, but here they said in verse 32, they bring unto him one that was deaf. If any of y'all ever know anybody that was deaf, I mean really deaf. I know a man lost his hearing in a car wreck, deaf. Last time I saw Henry, he couldn't hear, and I had to write it. You have to write to him. Had a deaf man one time that's the only way we can converse is writing back and forth. Can you imagine what it's like to never hear? To never hear. To never hear your mother or dad's voice. To never hear your brother or sister's voice. To never hear anybody's voice. Just look at them. And that's something else. At this time, they didn't have sign language. They didn't have sign language. If you was deaf, you just couldn't hear. Never heard a bird sing. Never heard a cricket. Never heard a frog croak. That'd be awful to be deaf. Oh, to be deaf. Oh, never hear anything. Oh, my. And there's no sign language at this time to be deaf. Oh, to be deaf. And oh, and then not only that, but it says they brought unto him one that was deaf. And not only could he not hear, but he couldn't talk. He had a speech impediment. A speech impediment. He not only could not hear, but he couldn't talk. You couldn't understand him when he tried to say something. You couldn't understand him. Deaf. Can't hear, and he can't speak that you could understand him. So here's this man. He has a speech impediment. Oh, to be able not to hear and then not to be able to be understood when you try to talk. Try to talk. But oh, I tell you, the first thing they knew was, you know what it says? They bring him. Him that was deaf, him that had a speech impediment, who'd they bring him to? They brought him to a person. They brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he was at, right there at getting ready to go into the Sea of Galilee through the, he come off through Decapolis and got out of the boat, and there they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment speech. Oh, my. What can we do? This tells us this. Bring those that you love. Bring those that are in need. You know, the natural man is deaf to the things of God. And the natural man can't say the right things about God and the right things about Christ. And so here you've got your loved ones, you got sons, you got daughters, you got husbands, you got wives, and you got people that they cannot hear. They're like this fellow. They can't hear, you know, they can hear the preacher's voice, but they can't hear the voice of Christ. And that's the voice you need to hear. And I tell you, when you don't know what else to do, bring your sons, bring your daughters. I bring my children. I bring my grandchildren. I bring my great-grandchildren. And there's only one place that I can bring them that somebody can do something for them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't do anything for them. I can pray for them. I can talk to them. But, you know, bring your loved ones. Bring your loved ones. Christ can do for them what nobody else can do. He's the only one that can do it. So, oh my, think about yourself. Who else are we going to come to when we're in need? You know, and sometimes we get, even as believers, we get dull in hearing. We get dull in hearing, and we get slow in speech saying things about Christ. So what can we do about it? Come to Him. Said, Lord, please, please take away this dullness of hearing. Please, Lord, enable me to say more about You and loosen my tongue to be able to speak more to You. But look what it says here again in verse 32. They bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech Him to put His hand on him. You know what that word beseech means? It means I desire. I desire. We desire You to lay Your hands on him. We call on You for aid to lay Your hands on him. We call on You to lay Your hands on him for comfort. For His comfort and our comfort. That's what beseech means. Oh, Lord, we desire You, Lord. We call on You, Lord. Oh, You're the only one that can comfort him and comfort us. That's what it means. And how many times have we, in our lifetimes, have beseeched the Lord Jesus? Not just for ourselves, but for others. Oh, Lord, we desire You to come. We call on You for aid. Lord Jesus, we call on You for comfort. And oh my, when you know, it's hard to comfort somebody when they're really in trouble. But oh, the Lord Jesus, now how many times have we in our lives have beseeched Him, not just for ourselves, Lord, comfort us. Come to my aid. I desire You. And how many times have we done it for somebody else? How many times have we got up and said, Lord, comfort them, aid them, call on them. We desire You to do something for them. And I tell you, when you go to Him, oh, He can do something. He can do something. You know, I was talking to Billy Argyropoulos yesterday. His wife had a stress test because she needs a knee replacement or something, and her heart wasn't strong enough. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he asked me to please pray for her, and then I called him to ask how she was doing. And I tell you, I told him, I said, one of the greatest things we can do for anybody in this world, now listen to me, is pray for them. When you pray for somebody, you're taking them to the Lord God in heaven. You're taking them to somebody that's got some power, somebody that's got some authority, somebody that can come to your aid, someone that can comfort you, someone that can do something for you that nobody else can. Huh? Oh, my. And it's like that woman with the issue of blood. She had a great need. And you know what happened? Great crowd around her. Great crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I don't have to touch Him, just the hem. And you know, the minute she touched Him, the moment she touched Him, you know what our Lord said? Virtue's gone out of me. When we touch Him, something comes out of Him. When we get a hold of Him and come to Him, He's touched. Ain't that what it said? He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And I've got plenty of them, don't you? Oh, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And oh my. Look what our Lord did now. Look what our Lord did. Now there's a multitude there. He took him aside from the multitude.
There's all these people around. It'd be like us being here and the Lord Jesus taking him behind that door. Takes him off to himself. Get him away from that crowd. Get him away from the multitude. And takes this deaf man, this man with this disability, and takes him off to himself. Takes him off to himself. He took him where he was alone with him. And boy, what a, oh my, there's nothing like being alone with Christ. And when you're alone with Christ, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Let me show you over in John, look in John chapter 8. And that's another thing. I never will forget years and years and years ago when we was just learning the gospel. And Brother Henry was down here for our first meeting. And that's one thing he said. He said, you go home and you get alone with the Lord. You go home and get alone with the Lord. Don't worry about what's going to happen here. If you hear the gospel and you hear Christ, go home and get alone with Christ. Get in the closet. And look what happens here in John. Everybody, John 8, you know the story about the woman taken in adultery. And they bring her to the Lord Jesus Christ and they want to stone her. And look what it says down here in verse 10. Oh, all those fellows walked away and left. And you know, he that's without sin cast the first stone. And then verse 10 said, when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman alone with Christ. In this distance, he went and got away from the multitude. This time the multitude went away from him. And no, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accuser? Hath no man condemned thee? No man judged thee? She said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I. That's what happens when you're alone with Christ. That's what happens when you're alone with Christ. That woman with issue, that woman take that at the woman at the well, alone with Christ. Alone with Christ. And oh, Zacchaeus. I mean, he went to Zacchaeus' house. How would you like that to go? But oh my, you know, he took him aside. Lord, take us aside. Take us aside. Sometimes he'll take us aside right in a service like this. And he'll get us off to ourselves. And he ain't speaking to nobody but us. They know everybody else around, but he's only talking to you. Oh, my. Alone with Christ. So he took him aside. Took him aside. And then look what next he did. Put his fingers in his ears. Put his fingers in his ears. What in the world? Put his fingers in his ears. Well, we know that he's raised the dead. But let me tell you something. You know whose fingers that was stuck in his ears? That's the fingers of God himself. That's who that is. You stick your fingers in my Lord ears, I don't care. He stuck his fingers in his ears. This is, I that man wondered, what in the world is he doing? What's he sticking his fingers in my ear for? Oh, my, stuck his fingers in his ear. And you know, whenever you find the finger of God, over in Exodus chapter 8, it says over there that after all those magicians and all that of Pharaoh, they done as much as they could, and then all of a sudden, they couldn't do what Moses did. And they said, this is the finger of God. Huh? And I tell you another time when the finger of God moved, when he wrote the law on the tables of stone. And another time he wrote, when he wrote on the wall and says, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. But here is the finger of God doing something for a deaf man. Go ahead, Lord. Stick your fingers in his ears. Oh, my. And I tell you, Lord, stick your fingers in my ear. Unstop them. Unstop them. Oh, Lord, let me get, you know, when Bunyan's Progress, it says that when God began to bombard, or in the in, in The Holy War, not Bunyan's Prophecy, but in the Holy War, it says there that they set up their engines. And that means weapons that they'd shoot. And they started bombarding. And you know where they're bombarding? Ear gate. They just kept hitting that ear gate and hitting that ear gate and hitting that ear gate until they finally got his attention. God hit that ear gate. Hit that ear gate. Oh my. And I tell you, Lord Jesus, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear you. Now look what else happened, what our Lord did now. Look what it says. And he spit. He spit. I believe he spit on his finger. Told that fellow, stick out your tongue. Spit on his tongue. Lord, the way he does things, about the time we think he's going to do something one way, he does something else. But how would you like the Lord, somebody spit on their finger and tell you stick out their tongue and you touch it? You wouldn't like that. You know, Mama says no telling how many times mothers over the years have spit on herself and washed off dirt off of some child's face. Huh? There's no telling how many times that's happened. Just, you know, I mean, mamas has been doing that as long as there's been a mama. Ain't that right? They're taking... Let me spit on that air, get that air down. But that's, you know, and here's our Lord Jesus. Here he is. He takes spit. Open your tongue. Stick out your tongue. And touched his tongue with spit on it. Oh, my. And you know, I don't know how else to say this. I don't know how to say it. There's only one way to say it. That everything that come from our Lord's body, that spit was as holy as Christ himself. There wasn't nothing nasty about it. Wasn't nothing unclean about it. There was nothing that was wrong with it. Can you imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ would do that? And what if his hands is holy, his tears are holy, then his spit that come from him, it'd have to be holy. It could not, it had to have some kind of virtue in it that he had touched that man's tongue with it. Oh my. out of his mouth, this is what happens. Out of his mouth comes healing. Out of his mouth comes, whether it's a word or whether it's spit, out of his mouth comes healing. Whatever he does, out of his mouth comes healing. And oh my, let me show you something over here in John chapter 9. Look at this over here, John chapter 9. This is, Bruce Crabtree wrote an article one time on, are you a Muddite or a something else? I mean, you know, because the Lord Jesus Christ could open a man's eyes. He opened people's eyes. But this one time, he'd done something different. And look what it says here in John chapter 9. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's the first thing people think. Boy, somebody done something really bad for this to happen. Oh, my. And he said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And this happened so I could come. This happened, God purposed this from eternity, this man be born blind so I could come and do something for him. That's exactly what our master's saying. And he said, I must the works of him that sent me while it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And listen to this now. And when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground. He spit on the ground. And then he got down and took all that spit and started working around in that spit and started making clay. He spent enough to make clay. And he made enough clay to put on both his eyes. Our Lord is, it's amazing how he works in this world. About the, he got down, now you think about it, he got down on the ground and spit. And spit enough that he started making clay with his fingers. And he took enough clay and he said, made some more clay. Why would you put clay on a man that's blind already? He can't see the clay, but he can feel it. Oh, he spit on the clay and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And then he said, go wash that clay off. Go wash that clay off. And in his way, and he washed his face in the pool of Siloam. And what happened? When he washed that clay off, he saw. The way our Lord does things, it, you know, it's astonishing. When you start thinking about Christ and the way he does things, nobody would do anything that way, but Lord can. Oh, if you went to the doctor and he said, I'm going to make up some clay and I'm going to cover your eyes up with clay and you, so you can see better, you'd say, boy, I'm not going back to that guy again. No, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't go to a doctor in this world and he put clay on your eyes. No. But that's the way our Lord does. That's the way our Lord does things that nobody else can do. And that, and everything he ever did, it come out just exactly right. If a man was blind, he's going to see. If a man's dead, he's going to live. If a man's deaf, he's going to hear. If a man's a leper, he's going to get cleansed. Huh? And oh my. And then look what he said. He spit on his tongue. He put his fingers in his ear, back over in our text, verse 33. And he spit and touched his tongue. Got his fingers in his ear, and then he spit and touched his tongue. Touched his tongue. And oh, listen to what he said now. Look what happens now. And he looked up into heaven. You know how many times it talks about our Lord looking up into heaven? Me and you can look up into the heavens. But Christ, when it says he looked into up into heaven, he was seeing heaven itself. He's seeing his Father. He's seeing everything that's going on. And it says that he, looking up to heaven. You know, look over here in Mark chapter 6, and I think it's verse 41. Look what it says over here. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. And what did he do? He blessed. And he broke that bread. And here he is looking up to heaven. In John 17:1, the scripture says that the Lord Jesus looking up to heaven. When he looks up, he sees things that you and I can't see. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. And he said, I saw things that when I got back down here, I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't talk about it. Everybody, all these folks that die and come back and they say they see this light and all that, rigmarole. Let me tell you something. When Paul was caught up to the third heaven, caught up into the presence of Christ himself, he come back and said, What'd you see, Paul? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. You couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. Well, he is looking up to heaven. And I tell you, he looked up to heaven. He came down from heaven. And all the blessings that we have come from heaven, every single one of them. I tell you what, well, you know, when you're born again, you're born from above, from heaven. James said, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. So he looked up to heaven. And this is something that's really, really important. Look what he says next. Looking up to heaven. And look what he said. He sighed. He sighed. Can you imagine? Now, I know what it is to sigh. You do too. Everybody has moments of that they just get heavy-hearted. They get things going on in their life. And they sigh. And they sigh. And they sigh. Oh, one of these days, all these sighs will be gone. Yeah, I tell over in Revelation, the sighs will be gone. And there'll be no more. Sorrows and sighs will cease to be. But he sighed. He looked up to heaven, saw this deaf man, this man with his impediment of speech, and that multitude looking, and our Lord Jesus Christ, he sighed. Why would he sigh? You know, you find him weeping twice. You find our Lord Jesus weeping twice. But here he, one time when he stood outside Lazarus' tomb, the scripture said he groaned in spirit. Oh, he groaned. Oh, he groaned. What does that tell us? That our Lord is deeply, deeply, deeply touched with our feelings. Deeply, deeply touched with what's wrong with us. He can show, you know, he is touched with our sorrows, touched with our infirmities. And oh, we see here the depth of his sympathy. Oh, how sympathetic was he toward this man. Huh? Oh, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And not only is he touched with them, and he was touched with what this man was going through, and touched with the people that brought him to him, but he's able to do something about it. I can sigh, and it won't do nobody no good. When you hear somebody sigh, you say, what's the matter? What's troubling you? What's bothering you? What's wrong with you? When you hear somebody sigh, what's up? All you got to say, I don't know. I'm just heavy. Just heavy-hearted. But oh my. But here he was. He sighed. Oh, he sighed. He had such deep, deep sympathy and such deep feelings for these people. For these people. And then look what he said. He said unto him. Nobody else now. If there had been a half a dozen deaf people there, he would have said, all of you be open. But he always called people singly. But he looked and he saith unto him, Ephphatha, Ephphatha. What does that mean? Be open. Be open. Just be open. Oh my. What happens? Oh, a sudden change takes place then. He speaks and it's done. He speaks and it's done. Oh, be open. His voice raises the dead. Oh, may he say to you, be open. May he open your ears. You know, Lydia, he opened her heart. May he open our hearts. May he open your heart. Oh, and open, may he open your mind. May he say unto you, Ephphatha, be open for your ears. Be open for your eyes. Be open for your heart. Be open, be open. May he say that to you, be open. And then look what happens. Oh, what a sudden change. And straightway his ears were open. He just said, be open. What happened? He's open. Whatever was stopping his ears up, it just stopped just like that. Straightway, his ears were open. Straightway. Oh, my. Our Lord is successful. Whatever he does is successful. Oh, he never fails. He speaks and it's done. It's just like in creation. And he's the author of creation. You know that? He's the creator. Christ was the creator. By him all things that were made were made. He created all things, and by him all things consist. When God said, let there be light, Christ was that light. And Christ was the word that God said, let there be light. When God speaks, when Christ speaks, things happen. He speaks and it's done. He commands and it stands fast. And oh my, our Lord's successful. Nothing he ever did. And his word never returns to him void. You reckon if that fellow... Now, you know, you see these healers all the time talking about people and laying hands on folks and they get laid out in the spirit and they fall down like they're dead or something, you know. And I tell you what, when our Lord Jesus Christ did things like that, he just spoke, be open! And I don't know, you know, he might have just said, be open. Might have just whispered at him, just be open. Just talked, just got up and whispered in his ear, be open. I don't know how he done it, but he might have done it that way. Just walked up to his ear and whispered in his ear, be open. Be open. You ever heard anybody whisper and you could hear everything they said because of whispers? Well, our Lord, when he whispers, he can just whisper, be open. That might have been what he did. But I don't care how he done it. But straightway his ears were open. Huh? How long did that take? Just for him to say it. Spoke two words, be open. That quick. Oh, my. Then look what else happens now. And look what it says, the string of his tongue was loosed. You know, we all got these little strings under our truth. And at my little brother, Jimmy, he's gone now. But anyway, when he was born, he had to have that thing under his tongue clipped so he could speak and his tongue could move. I don't know what they call that, but they had to cut his tongue so his tongue could move. It had it just all the way out. But anyway, that's what this fella does. His tongue, it says here, his tongue was loosed. His tongue was loosed. It was loose. You know, you've heard about folks who got too loose a tongue. They too loose with their tongue. I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody that talks very much. But this fellow's tongue was loosed, and he got something to say now. He's never been understood all his life. He ain't heard all his life, and he couldn't be understood all of his life. But his tongue's loosed, and now you're talking about something to say. He's got something to say. And a person that their tongue's been loosed by Christ, they got something to say. And the first words out of their mouth, blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Oh, praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he done all things well. Oh, my. The tongue was loosed. Now he's got something to tell. And oh, my. James says, no man can tame the tongue. Christ can. Oh, they spake with other tongues, it says over in Acts chapter 2. But look what it says now. He says, his tongue was loosed. Something happened to this man. Something miraculous. Supernatural. Supernatural. And look what happens next. And he spoke plain. You can understand him now. He is able to speak plain. Now I can hear, now I can talk. And when he opened his mouth, everybody understood what he had to say. He spake plain. Oh, my. When a man knows what he's talking about, he'll talk plainly. And oh my, you know, Abraham declared plainly that he was looking for a city and maker who was God. Oh my, our Lord told our Lord Jesus Christ. They said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you, but you believe not. Why don't you believe? Because you're not my sheep. Paul said, we use plainness of speech because we got such hope. And beloved, I tell you, plainness of speech, plain speech is easy to be understood. And then look what happens. Oh, his ears were opened, the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. You could understand him now. You could understand him now. I mean, you're talking about a man's life changing. He's brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is opposed. Could not talk where you could understand him. And I mean, in just in a minute or two, however how long it took for our Lord to get him off to himself, stick his fingers in his ear and spit on his tongue. If it took 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, I don't, but the thing is that he was, there's something miraculous. He come to Christ one way and left Christ another. And when Christ comes to us, he comes to us, find us one way, and we leave being something else. That's what you call being a new creature in Christ. Oh, my. And look what it says now. And he charged him, said, now don't go out here and talk about this. This is when our Lord said he made himself of no reputation. That's what this means here. He made himself of no reputation. He says, now don't tell, just keep this to yourself. Go home, keep this to yourself. And the more he told them not to tell it, the much more a great deal they went everywhere telling it. I was deaf. I'm hearing. I couldn't talk. Now I want to tell you something. I want to tell you who did it. I want to tell you what happened. I want to tell you what happened. And oh my, and I tell you what, and they were beyond measure astonished. Every time I look at things like this, I'm astonished. I am really astonished at how our Lord Jesus Christ does things. And it's, you know, and you don't really see it till you start looking at it. And like I told you before, I've got to where I read so slow. I may read only 10 or 12 verses in a chapter, trying to make it all make sense to me. Just like if I was going to talk to somebody about it, I want to say, this is what I'd say about that, say about this here. But this is the thing about it. I'm astonished when I see how Christ does things in this world. He's done that for a multitude that no man can number. There's not a soul in this building that's a believer that Christ didn't speak to you through your ears. There's not a person in this building that Christ didn't loose your tongue and give you the ability to praise him and bless him and glorify him with your tongue. Not a person in this building he ain't done that for. That's a believer. Ain't that right? If he opened your ears, he did mine. You know what I used to hear? Fundamentalism, legalism, works. And then all of a sudden he got both my ears and said, grace, 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 and more grace. Christ, 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 and more Christ. Christ is all and in all. That's what, and that's when he opened your ears, that's what you hear. And oh my, well, and they were beyond measure astonished. And listen, he hath done all things well. And look what it says. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Huh? No wonder what a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Let's sing that. I think that's 258. Is that 258? Yeah, he hideth my soul, yeah. He hideth my soul. Let's stand together and sing this. When we get through it this, you're at liberty to go.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. My Lord, He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day.
Yes, bless His name. He hideth.
In the depths of His love and covers me.
Clouds of the sky,
His perfect salvation, His wonderful love. I'll shout with the millions on high. Amen. Sing. In the cleft of the rock, the shadows a dry, thirsty land, He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing.